Good morning. The week that school ended, when all the teachers are saying, praise the Lord, and all the parents are saying, help me, Jesus. It all happens at the same time. Kirby, our oldest daughter, is a kindergarten teacher. She loves her kids, but she's definitely on the praise the Lord thing, I think. Ready to have a summer of rest. If you are, welcome to Wylie United Methodist Church. We're glad that you're here on this Memorial Day. I want to just again echo what Billy has said and Clay has said, that we honor those of you who have served in our military and protected us. We're glad that all of you are here this morning. If you are a visitor this morning, there's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. Invite you to fill that out and let us know that you were here. No obligation to do that, but would love to know that you were here. If you would like to be on our email list, you can add your email there and be sure and check the box that you would like to be added to the list. And we'll kind of let you know as things are going on in our church. You know, in Carlene's children's sermon this morning, talking about being the family of God. This is a family, isn't it? And we, over the years, we have opportunities that we laugh together, and we celebrate together, and we grieve together, and that's what families do. And so we're just glad that you're a part of that. If you have not had your picture taken, take your finger, point it at yourself, and just kind of scold yourself a little bit. I know Pat and Jackie have been taking pictures down at this end of the foyer, and they will be doing it at the end of the service as well. So would love for you to do that. We're going to try to get a new directory out soon. As soon as we can get all the pictures, we'll put that together and try to get it out just as soon as we can. And that helps us to get to know one another. So if you would turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 5. Now, some of this is going to kind of reflect back to the sermon last week. And notice, you know, last week we talked about the difference between the sinful nature and living in the Spirit. And this the contrast between those two ways that we can live our lives, conduct our lives. And you'll see that happening again here in Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. Now I'm going to stop there just a second. So when we're in the sinful nature, we think about sinful things. That's what controls us. Anybody ever been there before? Okay, just me, huh? Okay. So, I mean, when we're in this nature, we just think about that stuff. It's not good stuff. It's not stuff that produces life. That's what he's talking about. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. So I just want to kind of stop there and tell you, if you're constantly kind of thinking about and tempted all the time, and you know you're just kind of living in this world, maybe you're surrendered to the flesh. If that's the things that you dwell on, if you struggle with that constantly, then that's what it's saying is that we have our mind set on those things, on those desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. What does the Spirit desire? We're going to talk more about that. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Which one would y'all rather have? Death or life and peace? The choice is pretty clear. The sinful mind is hostile to God. Did you ever think about that? The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Anybody say amen to that? And if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we're talking about you today. So we ask you to speak. Teach us. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So I apologize if I start hacking a little bit. You know, I've been a little bit under the weather, so I'm trying. If I didn't shake your hand today, it's not because I'm rude. I may be rude also, but that's not why I didn't shake your hand. Thank you, Larry. See, we're a family. We can even you know, kind of do this a little bit. And if I go down, if I pass out or something, please let Cheryl give me mouth to mouth. Larry, you just sit there. I'll be all right. I think I'll live. All right. All right. You'd be standing over and she goes, he's going to die. Anyway. The sermon series we continue today is Church on Fire. And so we've been talking about this, that the church is us. And asking the question, are we on fire? Are we on fire for God? And the way we are on fire for God is when we are filled with the Spirit and when we're nurturing the Spirit. Amen. Somebody over there already give me an amen. Today's message is benefits of the Spirit. Did you know? We talked about it in this passage today. God's Word is speaking of that there are benefits to us living in the Spirit and having the Spirit. You know, it starts out, it's very important for us to see that that Christ benefited from the Spirit. Christ benefited from the Spirit. And I'm just going to hit these real quick. They're in your notes if you want to follow along there. But Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit. We find that in Luke 1. He was empowered and directed by the Holy Spirit. He was baptized and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, in the form of a dove. And he immediately went out and he did battle with the devil, and then he immediately launched his ministry. Did you know that he did not launch his ministry until he was filled with the Holy Spirit? If Jesus needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit to do God's work, how about us? Did you know that he endured the cross? The power that allowed him to endure the cross was through the Holy Spirit. You find that in Hebrews 9:14. And he was resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit. We read that today in verse 11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, So we're talking about the same Holy Spirit that took a dead, lifeless Jesus laying in the tomb and breathed life into him, and he set up and spent 40 days hanging out with the disciples. Over 500 witnesses saw him, the resurrected Jesus. That Spirit that resurrected Jesus from the dead lives in us. Somebody say amen, please. Amen. Better late than never, Ed. It's bad when you got to coax them, and you know. Ed, I love you, buddy. We're going to have some fun today talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit benefits the believer first by connecting us to the Father. Don't you love that? I love this passage. And I've told you this before, but I'll say it again. I pray this passage of Scripture every time I sit down to begin to work on this message every week. Romans 8 says, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit, again, when it says Spirit, big S, the Holy Spirit is what we're talking about here. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Have you ever just not known there's something inside you, I need to pray, I need to ask God for something, I need to tell Him something, but I don't even know how to say it? The Holy Spirit will convey that message to the Father for us. Even when we can't get the words out, we don't really know what to say, how to pray it. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit, big S, intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. The Spirit of God connects us to our Heavenly Father. Well, man, that's good news. Because I don't know about y'all, but I need connecting. I need to be connected with God. Not sometimes, not most of the time, but all of the time. Secondly, the Holy Spirit benefits a believer by providing us gifts. He gifts us. The Pentecost passage that we read a couple of weeks ago in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit, who had been promised, showed up at Pentecost, and he filled the disciples, and they began to speak in the tongues, the native tongues of the people who had come to Jerusalem and gathered, and they began to share the gospel in all of these other tongues, and these people were going, wow, they're speaking in our language. They're not from our country. They're speaking in our language. They began to be convicted by the Holy Spirit, and Peter preached the first sermon, and he ended it when they were convicted. It says that they were cut to the heart, and they said, what should we do? How do we respond to this? And Peter said this, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. It's a gift. The Holy Spirit. And then last week we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That when we have the Holy Spirit living in us, the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, should ooze out of us. People should look at us and go, what's different about that person? There's something different about that person. And they may not see it this way, but it's the fruit of the Spirit. Because when we aren't filled with the Spirit, what's oozing out of us is the world, our flesh, the sins and brokenness of the flesh. But when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we are gifted with the Holy Spirit. We are gifted with the fruit of the Spirit. And then the third thing, the Holy Spirit benefits the believer by providing truth and conviction. Now, I will tell you, if ever our world needed truth, church, it's now. And we are a confused society, a confused culture. We don't even know where to go to the bathroom anymore. I mean, I'm just telling you. I mean, who would have ever thought it? If my little granny that was about 5'1", and was she five? She probably wasn't even 5'1". If my granny came back today and heard us arguing about which bathroom we can use. I mean, you got anybody in that in your life that's gone before you? And it's like, holy cow. What are we doing? You know, it's almost like we're seeking things to have conflict about. You know, things that aren't even problems. It's like, well, let's see if we can create some more issues here. We need truth, church. Now, here's the thing. Our world thinks that there's a lot of truth. Your truth is your truth, and my truth is my truth, and her truth is her truth. And we all, if we're going to be tolerant of one another, everybody's right. Well, you know, some things there's just one option, you know. Truth is truth. I would take it like, you know, let's take something like gravity. You know, if you get up on top of this building and jump off, I don't know if y'all were, some of y'all saw me. I like to be a goober with the Vacation Bible School, and I've rappelled off. Anybody see me rappel off the back of the building here a couple of times? I did it one year, and then I did it the next year, and some of the little ladies came to me and said, "Pastor Jeff, you're getting too old to do that." And they're right, but I still like doing it. But I want to tell you, gravity, there is no other opinion. If I fall off the back of the building, it's going to hurt, and I'm going down. Sometimes there's just truth. Sometimes there's just truth. And, you know, as Christians, I believe this with all my heart. I just think that there are some things that we can agree to disagree on, certain things that are not foundational. But there are some things that are foundational to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, the Holy Spirit, I can remember when I was filled with the Holy Spirit for the very first time. I believe with all my heart, I was a believer. I think you can be saved and not have received the Holy Spirit. That's for another sermon. There's scripture that would support me on that. But when I was 30, I believe I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and suddenly I began to see things that were true that I had not seen before. Nobody taught me those things. Nobody lectured and said, "Oh, you need to really believe this." It's just like the Holy Spirit, when He fills us, it's like He reveals truth to us. We suddenly see things and we go, "Wow." Now, I'm just going to speak boldly this morning about this. On the issue of abortion. Now, I'm well aware that there could be people right here listening to me who've had an abortion. And I want to tell you that God's grace is sufficient. God is not a God of condemnation. God is a God of grace and mercy, but He is also a God of truth. Now, I can remember, I've shared this before from the pulpit, that before I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I had bought into the arguments of our culture. It's like, well, you know, I kind of see both sides of this thing. It's a life, maybe, but, you know, I see a woman has a right to choose, or, you know, and I bought into this. And when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, it's like, no, no. There is not a choice. There is not a choice. Life is always in God's hands. Now, I preached on this a few months ago. I don't make a habit of preaching on abortion, but from the very moment that life is conceived, God is knitting. He is knitting together. If you disagree with me, it's okay. It's okay for you to disagree with me, but God is a God of, and we just spoke of it today. The sinful nature is about death. Now, you can call that choice, but the Spirit is about life. The Holy Spirit benefits us by truth and conviction. I want to just look through some of these scriptures so you see that Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." That seems to indicate, Jesus seems to be indicating that the Spirit has truth, absolute truth. Did you know God's not confused about anything? He's not confused about anything. He has an opinion on everything we face. Every decision that we make, every worldview that we have, God has an opinion. And guess what? His is the only one that counts. My opinion doesn't count. And respectfully, your opinion doesn't count. Only God's opinion counts. So we should be on a quest to understand what His opinion is on everything. Did you know, and I'm not going there yet, but I will later, did you know that God has an opinion on the election in November? And a lot of us do too. But I'm just telling you, he has an opinion on everything. And his is the only one that matters. Because he's the spirit of truth. Absolute truth, not relative truth, not truth today, not your truth, my truth, and somebody else's truth. He is truth, the spirit of truth. And we should be on a quest to discern that. And when he, the spirit of truth, here it is again in John 16, when he, the spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So we should be on this quest to be guided into all truth. What's God's opinion on everything? What's his opinion on marriage? What's his opinion on how we do our taxes? What's his opinion on what we watch, what we listen to, what we put into our mind? What's his opinion when we don't forgive someone? He has an opinion. He is the spirit of truth. And his purpose is to guide believers into all truth. John 14 goes on and says, the counselor of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. He's our teacher. He also convicts. Now, here's the difference, that word convict. I want you to understand there's a difference between conviction and shame. The enemy shames us. The Holy Spirit convicts us. Never shames us. If you are feeling shame, it is not from the Holy Spirit. It is not from God. Amen. See, that here's what the enemy does. He entices us. Just do it one time. It won't hurt anything. Just go to that site. Just take a peek. Just cheat a little bit. Just lie a little bit. He entices us, and then he shames us. When we do it, he goes, you are worthless. What kind of human being are you to do that? That's the enemy. But the Holy Spirit convicts us. You shouldn't be doing that. That leads to death. When the counselor comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. There is a difference between absolute truth. Don't let the world fool you. Don't let our culture fool you to think that you are somehow this hateful, intolerant person when you believe that there is absolute truth. That's a lie from the enemy. And finally, the Holy Spirit benefits a believer by providing this power. You know, I don't know about you, but I need power. Anybody ever just get worn out, you know, like just emotionally and spiritually, you just get worn out? We need power. I was talking to Cheryl the other day about something. I don't remember the exact topic that we were talking about, but... I was talking about how a cell phone, you know, we carry these things around with us and they serve some good function, some good purpose. They can be abused like anything else, but we carry these things around with us, and after a period of time, they get to where they won't function. Why is that? The battery runs out. They have to be charged. They have their power has to be replenished, so that the purpose that they have can be fulfilled. We're the same way, church. If all you're doing is putting out, discharging, and you're never recharging, it's not good. It's not good. And let me tell you, the preacher's not preaching to the choir, the preacher's preaching to the preacher this morning. We must recharge. Jesus, over and over, he spoke of the Spirit and this promise of power. He says, I'm going two times in Luke and then Acts. And Acts is also attributed to Luke. So on two occasions, Luke wrote this. I'm going to send you, this is the words of Jesus, I'm going to send you what the Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit is going to provide you power. Power to live your lives, power to share the gospel, power to get through whatever life throws at you, power in all senses, the Holy Spirit will provide that power. I love that imagery of being clothed with power. If you can just imagine the God coming up behind you and putting this cloak over your shoulders of power, clothed with power from on high. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus again promises, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, I love this, the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy. Paul's coming to the end of his life. Timothy's been kind of mentored by Paul. Timothy's a young man. Paul's coming to the end of his life, and he's speaking words of life into Timothy, and he says this, I remind you, he says to Timothy, to fan into the flame the gift of God. There it is again, the gift of God. Fan it into flame, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of
power,
of love, and of self-discipline. You know, and that even that word kind of jumped out at me, that self-discipline. When we're this struggle, even Paul talked about it in Romans as well, there's this struggle, constant struggle that's going on between the flesh and the spirit. And he's saying that the power of the Holy Spirit, when he comes on you, he will give you power and love, but he'll also give you self-discipline to know, this is harmful. Over here, this is bad. This destroys life. Whatever we do in this quadrant over here, God is saying that, no, this is life. And the power of the Holy Spirit gives us self-discipline and wisdom and knowledge and truth to discern the difference and then to live over here. Does anybody need that but me? I love this. I read this quote. It's from a Dr. Jerry Vines. I believe he... once upon a time, actually used to be the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, I think. I'm not that familiar with him, but I read this quote, and I really love this quote. And he said, the average Christian and the average church are somewhere bogged down between Calvary and Pentecost. Calvary, the cross. Pentecost, the sending of the Holy Spirit. They have been to Calvary for pardon, but they have not been to Pentecost for power. How many Christians do we of us do live that life? It's like, well, I'm forgiven, and I've talked about it before. I got my ticket. I'm going to heaven. You got your ticket, I got my ticket, and we're good. It's like, no, there's more. There's more. They've been to Calvary for pardon, but they have not been to Pentecost for power. Bethlehem means God with us. Calvary means God for us. Pentecost means God in us. It's how we live. It's the power to get through today. Whatever today brings. That someone before church was talking about, I think it was Jackie, I think was talking about an accident last night on Highway 36. Happened to be the highway my brother was killed on. And they're doing some construction out there, and they're merging traffic to do this construction, and these two cars met head-on, and there was a fatality last night. That quick. Life turns on a dime. We need power, church. We need power. God's word says to fan into flame that is within us. And every time I read that scripture, I think about my old backpacking days and making the fires. And, you know, we'd go to bed at night and a fire, we'd sit around the fire and we'd roast marshmallows and talk and just have a great evening. And then we'd kind of let the fire kind of burn down and get a little soft. Then we'd go to bed, get up the next morning, and it was cold. But you could go in there and you could get a stick and you could kind of work those coals around a little bit and blow on the coals, put a few little sticks on there, poof, the fire would come back. Fan into flame the gift of God that is within us. How do we do that, church? I'm going to hit these real quickly. These are just some. This is not all-inclusive list. We pour God's word into our heart. Man, if you're counting on me to tell you what God's word says, you're missing a gift. You're missing a gift. I've preached on this before, but many, many thousands of people have died so that we had this word of God in our hands. Used to, we had to, hundreds of years ago, we had to wait for the church and the priest to tell us what this said. People died so that you and I could have this in our hands. Pour God's word into your heart. Watch what you put into your minds. Is it over here? Or is it over here? Stay involved in church. Now, I said it last week, you know, being in church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car. But the point is, church can nourish our souls. Coming to church, I know a lot of people that say, well, I'm against organized religion. I'm a Christian, but I just do it in my home. It's like, that's not the way God designed us. And, you know, sometimes relationships can be messy. Sometimes we get mad at each other. Sometimes we get frustrated with each other. You ever get mad or frustrated with those you love? Moms, dads, brothers, sisters, best friends? You ever get cross with them? We don't just walk away. But fellowship, coming in worship, public worship and fellowship, it nourishes our soul. We need each other. I don't know about you needing me, but I need you. Pray and worship regularly. Fan into flame the gift of God that's within us. If you bow your head with me. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you have come to give us life, give us power, provide us with truth, to connect us to the Father. We thank you that the only thing in you is truth, absolute truth. May we passionately run after you, Holy Spirit. I'm thinking that we're going to run head on, head first to you because you're passionately pursuing us already. Breathe on us, Holy Spirit. May we fan into flame the gift that is within us. Thank you for giving us life. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. If our praise team will come up as we close today, I'll be around after the service during this last song as well. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, church, man, You are missing such a wonderful gift. I just pray that you'd say yes to him this morning. If you want me to pray with you or want to visit with me about anything, I'll be up front. Let's stand as we close.
Rushing wind, blow through this temple, blowing out the dust within. Come and breathe your breath upon me, 'cause I've been born again. Holy Spirit, I surrender. Take me where
Comes upon you. Fan it into flame, church. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Jesus, you're the one who sets my spirit.